thank everybody for returning to part two on the Day of Atonement, October 28th, 2011. So far, we have been looking at mapping in the millennium. Charts. Everybody doesn't have access to my workshops, and those that do, we'll talk about how you can get into the workshops later, and you can view this study, or part of the study of what we're covering. So right now we're going to use the chart that we have, and what we were trying to show was that if you notice, under the story, the creation story, it's divided up. It has its own section. It has type, antitype, meets type, and comments in the first column. Second columns, it has the days of the week, description of the type symbols, scripture reference, time frame, the millennium week of prophecy. And this millennium week is, as you look over to the left, deals with millenniums, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh millennium. That's what we'll be talking about. That's what we were dealing with. And then it talks about description of the anti-type substance. Then it says scripture reference and then time frame. And then the third column has before creation, and it starts talking about each one of them. So what we had covered so far was that we had mapped in the days of the week at creation of the things he created each day until he created only 6 days, and then he rested the seventh, which we found out was the Sabbath. Then what we found out also was that when he mapped in the first, so what we did was we mapped a day for a year, and we found out that every 6 years, as we're supposed to work 6 days, we can work the land 6 years. And the seventh year, the sabbatical, we're supposed to let the land rest. And then we made a parallel with that into the millennium. In the book of Peter, he talks about one day is as 1,000 years with Elohim. So we took that scripture and we were using that to map in one day for 1,000 years or for one millennium. And so on this chart that's in front of you, it should say one day, and if you scroll down to 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down, 4 rows down, you'll see first millennium, and you'll see second day, the first row, and then the fifth row, you'll see second millennium, and third day, third millennium. So we're mapping them in like that. And what we found out was that they put the fall of man around 4,000 B.C., approximately. Okay, so if you go for the first millennium, would go from 4,000 B.C. to 3,000 B.C. The second millennium will go from 3,000 B.C. to 2,000 B.C. And the third millennium will go from 2,000 B.C. to 1,000 B.C. Okay? And then as you go across, we have the fourth day would correlate with the fourth millennium, which will go from 1,000 B.C. to zero.
Question now. You said the fourth day, they are all on the same chart? Because mine only stops at 1, 2, and 3 day, first,
yes.
Second, and third.
Good point. Now, if you go to the bottom of your
chart,
you look at the bottom, you can scroll over. If you scroll over to the right, you should start seeing the other ones.
Okay, let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, scroll over to the right.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Okie dokie.
You with us?
I'm with you.
Good. Okay. Good. Okay. Then that's the fourth day with the fourth millennium. You go over to the fifth day, to the fifth millennium. And then we have the sixth day, which will be the sixth millennium. And we ended with the fourth. We talked about the fourth millennium ending on, y'all remember when? What date?
The fourth millennium?
Mm-hmm.
Ends? The fourth millennium ended on 1,000 to zero.
Okay. So it goes from 1,000 B.C. to zero, Okay, so that's where it ends. It ends at zero. Some call it 1 AD and 1 BC. You know, they're all at one point.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how the Gregorian calendar that we're using today map in. Okay, so then we found out the fifth, if you go over a little more, you see the fifth day, and you see the fifth millennium, and that would go from...
Zero to 1,000.
1,000 AD. Good, perfect. And then we found out that the sixth millennium would go from...
1,000 AD to 2,000.
To 2,000 AD. Okay,
yeah.
So that's... Okay, so that puts us at what time are we at 2011? Where are we in reference to these millenniums?
Well, it seems like we're in that sixth millennium or past it already if
yes.
2000 has come and gone.
Good. Okay, good point. All right, so yes, you are correct. We are in the sixth millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be moving soon. How soon? We don't know because I don't know the day and the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we know we're in the sixth millennium and we'll be moving into the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Map in the sabbatical millennium. That's what I call it, the Sabbath millennium. And we already read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, we read about the thousand-year reign where we will live and reign with the Messiah for 1,000 years. And so that would be during the sabbatical millennium.
Okay,
so now we always have to remember when we're dealing with numbers, as a mathematician, we always are off. We always have a percentage error of 5%, plus or minus 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all got that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so we are not saying that the thousand-year reign begins at 2000 AD.
Okay.
Everybody got that? Mm-hmm. I am not making any claims because I said I really do not know the day or the hour because he said we would not. But he said we would know the signs of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And by the signs, we should be watchmen on the wall of Zion, awake. And not asleep. So if you read my preface, everybody's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So not asleep. So we got to wake up so that we can know what's going on. So my point is, okay, make sure nobody quotes and says that Emmanuel is teaching that the thousand-year reign, it began in 2000 B.C. Okay? That
yeah.
Emmanuel did not say any such thing. Emmanuel's charts say that it'll be around that time frame with a plus or minus 5% error. Now, let's talk about this plus or minus 5% error. Okay, as a mathematician, scientifically, that's what we work with. So we know that all of our numbers will come around that time frame, plus or minus 5%. So if we use 10% of, we have approximately 6,000 years, right? That's what we're dealing with, 6,000 or 7,000 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just say 6,000 years. I don't want to throw it in the seven. So we're working with, we know that these numbers of 6,000 years are off by 5%, plus or minus. So 10% of 6,000 years would be how many years?
600
years. Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now to get 5%, because that's what we're trying to get, plus or minus 5%, to get 5%, how many years would that be?
300,
because it would be half of the 600, which was
10%.
Mm-hmm. And 5 is half of the 5% is half of the 10%. So that's how we get to 300 years. So now Emmanuel can say, somewhere between 2000 B.C. and 2300 B.C., the Messiah will come. You get that?
Yes.
So there's a plus or minus 5%. So we got 300 years of error of miscalculations that we have been calculating for thousands of years. Okay? So that you have to acknowledge that, hey, we can be off by 300 years, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying he's coming tomorrow, but all I'm saying is he'll be coming back in the next, you know, soon. It depends on how you want to define soon. But,
Professor, would you repeat the years between, what, 2 years?
Okay. We're, according to the calculations, everything came out to around 2000 BC for the 7000 millennium to begin. Now, and we used 5% error. Mm-hmm. But a 5% error of, if you're calculating 6000 years, because you wasn't around, so you really don't know what all the deals are and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we always use 5% error. So 5% would be 300 years
mm-hmm.
out of 6,000 years. And so we would add that somewhere between 2,000 and 2,300 A.D., the Messiah would, you know, come. That's it. That the 7,000 year would begin. And we would live and reign with him for 1,000 years. So somewhere in between that time frame. That's a large time frame. I know that. I agree. But if we're going to be using calculations made by man with these dates that they keep changing, you know these guys keep changing the calendar and keep changing stuff. That's why we're looking at it today to understand what changes they made. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, let's turn here for 1 second so y'all can understand what we're dealing with. In Daniel chapter 7, I think it's verse 25, we deal with this beast power, which we know is existing today, the beast and his boys, that they are trying to change times and laws, and that's what we were looking at, the calendar. The calendar we have today has been changed. Everybody has Daniel chapter 7, verse 25.
Yes.
And it reads, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hands until a time and times and dividing of times. Okay? So we have here that this power that exists today, I believe it's the Western world, the Babylon, the beast, and all this other stuff, that, and Europe, the United States of Europe, all these guys, that they have come on the stage to think to change the times and laws. And they have. They got their own calendar, which we talked about earlier, and they have the counterfeit calendar, which we use today. And we have holy days, which they try to cover up and act like they're not worshiping the beast or his image. And they call them, what do they call these holy days? One is coming up on Monday.
Mm. Holiday. Are you talking about Columbus Day?
Holidays. How
the
do you holiday? Spell holidays?
Oh, what you told us about the different holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're tying it together. So how do you spell holy days?
With a Y instead of an I.
Okay, so it's H-O-L-Y-D-A-Y. And when you conjunct them together, you get, that's holy day. Conjunct them together, you replace the Y with an I, and you have what we call today holiday.
Holiday.
But they're really holy days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they tell you, well, can't you read? Of course it's a holy day. The holy day of man.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, and that's what we just read in the book, that they will think to do what?
Change times and laws.
And that's what they're changing. That's the calendar. The times is the calendar. That's what regulates us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, based on the calendar. You got a basic calendar. Okay, what month you in, what day you in, what year, but you know, all of those things. And so these dates of 2000 BC, remember, we're using their calendar to calculate this 2000, you know, the millennium. I mean, they're general, but we just got to make sure. So that's why we have this 300-year gap, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we're somewhere in the ballpark. And with these guys playing, you know, numbers and playing games with us, we got to, we got to be wise to see what's going on. Okay, so now.
May I ask a question in reference to Daniel 7:25? You know, typically we've taken that prophecy to refer to the papal power, the 1260 years, you know, when dominance was given to the Dark Age period, and from 536 A.D.? No, 538 A.D. up to 1844 as a 2300 days from which we extracted, or the way we got times and dividing of times. Now, are you saying that there's another point at which we need to, because if this is the U.S. and the European power, that wasn't in effect at the time that we've used previous calculations to arrive at 1844. So where do we start now with this U.S. and European power that's thinking to change with the calendar and all that stuff?
Okay, well, you can apply this two ways. One way you can apply it is that it was the Roman power that did exist back then. And what calendar do we have today?
The Gregorian.
The Gregorian Roman calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are we saying anything different?
Well, no. But the only thing is, you said that the European and American power are thinking, they're doing it, they're actually changing it, right? But let's say America wasn't involved with that initial change.
Okay. Let me back up just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What I'm saying is, okay, we can all agree that we are using a Roman Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
And that came from the Dark Ages.
Uh-huh.
And that came from Rome.
Mm-hmm.
That came from the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
Came from Catholicism. And
mm-hmm.
now all the rest of that stuff. Okay, so the calendar we are using today, that's all I'm referring to at this point. For us to think about, and today, is it being used in America?
Absolutely.
Is it being used in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Is it being used by the Western powers?
Yes.
That's all I'm saying at this point. I'm not trying to get a study on that. I'm just trying to map it in so we can see it today. I'm not saying that the America created its own calendar, because we don't have our own calendar.
Okay.
I'm not saying the Western world has created their own calendar, because they don't have their own calendar. Everybody follows the Pope's calendar. So that's all I'm trying to say right there.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we know the calendar we're using today do have holy days in them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm just trying to get us to map in what's going on in current events, so that now we were talking about the day of at-one-ment, which is today, Yom Kippur, some would refer to it as, that is here, and now how does that relate to what's going on in world events? That's what I'm trying to show at this point. That's what we're looking at today in our study. Because what we want to do is we want to be able to understand what's going on and map it into what's going on around us. Otherwise, prophecy don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
If it has no meaning to you today, if you're going to tell me that it has to do with 1844, it has to do with 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, listen, man, that means nothing to me. How does last day events relate to me today? Because that's the message that everybody's looking for, right? Where are we? What's happening? Under the deceptions of the smokes and mirrors that are going on all around us, in the media and in the government and all these other places. So let's get back to, okay, so is that clear?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Times and laws, okay, good. Okay, now I want to get back to our calendar, okay? In this calendar, I have the sixth day, if you look under there, the creation story, period of 6 days. Under the 6 days, you will see a point I want to make, and I'm going to move on from that point so we can get to the other feasts, holy days, or whatever we want to call it. Yahweh's calendar, basically. On the sixth day, we read in Genesis chapter 1, that he created man, or human, perfect. Male and female created he them. Okay? Now, he created them on the sixth day, which will correlate to which millennium?
The sixth millennium.
Right. The one that we are living in. Is that right? Okay. So, underneath the sixth millennium, if you notice, under the sixth day, I have, and Elohim created humans in his image. In the image of Elohim created he them, him, male and female, created he them. Okay? So he created the male and the female in his image, not just man in his image. That's what that said. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, good. Now, the word Adam, I'm just going to throw this in for a side note. The word Adam means, is Adam, which means reddish brown. And I just wanted to throw that in there so you would know that. Okay, now, under sixth millennium, there's something else that is written. Humans, okay, so now, if man was, if humans were created perfect in the image of Elohim on the sixth day, what's going to happen in the sixth millennium? Remember, the type is what? The creation story of man being, of humans being created in his image, perfect. So, what is the anti-type? The anti-type on the sixth day is the sixth millennium, and the anti-type of him making humans perfect in the sixth day is that he would make another perfected group of people in the sixth millennium.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So what I have here, which comments under the sixth millennium, it says humans are recreated in the image of Elohim. The 144,000 each perfect through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the latter rain and will be made one as the Father and Son are one.
Yes.
So, the 144,000, something went over this, okay, they will... And Elohim will be able to be both will and do of his good pleasure. So, when the Messiah was here on the planet, he made mention that he does not do his own will.
Mm-hmm.
He only does the will of the Father that sent him. Is everyone familiar with those scriptures? If
yeah.
not, I will turn to them. I just want to make sure I don't want to assume things. Yes?
Yes, for me.
Are you saying for the, which scriptures, I'm sorry, the one that.
Okay, the third of the book of John, the epistle.
Oh, and Philippians and Revelations. Is that the one you want to know? Are we familiar with those?
No, the ones I'm referring to is that the Father, let me backtrack a little more, no problem. The Bible talks about that we were made in his image. Okay? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Elohim.
Right.
The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Right.
Okay. Now, when we parallel that to us being created in his image, now, some people might think that we were created in the image of Yahweh. Now, some may think we were created in the image of Elohim. Now, is there a difference? Yes. Yahweh is the Father. Elohim is the Godhead, as we would call it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Okay? Of them as one. Now, since we were created in the image of Elohim, that's what the Bible says. It didn't say we were created in the image of Yahweh. We were created in the image of Elohim. Elohim is a plural word. It is not a singular word. Yahweh is a singular word, which refers to one individual. Elohim refers to, is a plural sense, so it refers to many. And it refers to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we might refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at this, at the in Elohim, since we were created in the image of Elohim, how were we created in the image of Elohim? My understanding is that we have a spirit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Elohim has a spirit. Is that right?
He is spirit, according to scripture.
Mm-hmm. And he has the Holy Spirit. Right?
I'm sorry,
Elohim.
You said he is the Holy Spirit? Father,
no.
Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, Elohim is the plural sense. So there, we're talking about more than one.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three components that make up Elohim? Is the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Word, which he said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
Okay, the Word was Elohim and with Elohim and all of that. Y'all familiar with that scripture in John chapter 1?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he lets us know clearly that he was Elohim, right? Okay, and that the Word
Elohim
was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, and then we have the Father. Okay, so now, so we have these three components. The Father is the one that runs everything. Now let's break this down. Let's make it a little clear. Yahweh, he runs everything. He's like the mind. Okay? And as he's the mind, that's what we have. You know, that's where the knowledge base is. So when we compare it to humans being created in his image, that's what it says. Let us. Who's us? Y'all read that scripture, right? Let us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in our image, who's us? He didn't say, let me.
Right.
Make man in my image. He said, let us make man in
Father,
our
Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
No, when he said us, Son, it includes the Father, it includes the Son and his Holy Spirit.
Right, so that's what makes him up. And we know the Spirit is the Spirit. We know that the Word is the Son. And we know that the one that controls everything and runs everything is the Father.
Right.
Okay, so now we're going to make this parallel to us. We, humans, were created in the image of Elohim. So we have to have three main components. A spirit. Do we have one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have words?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all sure?
Yes.
Okay. And do we have a brain?
Mm-hmm.
That runs everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, literally, we were made in his image. To the T.
So you would say we were made in the character of God.
No, I'm not using the word character. No, I'm talking
okay.
about components.
Okay.
Components. Those
okay.
are the words I would like to use. Okay, so let me go over that again. Okay, in our mind, we think. Okay, and when you speak, where's these words coming from?
The divine words or good words coming from God or the ability to speak coming from the Almighty because we were created to speak.
Right, but we're not talking about ability. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about physical existence because he put us here on a physical planet, and he said physically and spiritually and mentally we were made in his image. So let's try that again. When I'm speaking words, where are they coming from? They're not coming out of heaven. They're coming out of my mouth.
My mind.
Yeah.
Mind.
It is.
The thought. Your thoughts are made what? Audible.
Yeah.
Okay. So the mind is what controls it, like Yahweh controls the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Elohim. So the mind generates thought. These thoughts come out of my mouth. And so does my mouth speak whatever it wants, or it only speaks what my mind tells it to speak?
Yes, uh-huh.
Or what my thoughts tell it to say?
Uh-huh.
So does my words, independent of my thoughts?
Oh, they will.
No.
It's just a manifestation so that you and I can hear what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
Because you cannot understand what I'm thinking unless I what?
Talk.
Speak words. If I don't have words, you will never figure out what I'm speaking or what I'm thinking.
True, true.
Okay, so that's, and the Bible says that's how we were made, just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, do we have spirit?
Yes.
Okay, so we are made just like him, spiritual, in a spirit, with words, and with thoughts.
Can I ask, what is that spirit? Because there's a lot of different saying about that spirit. Could you explain it, please?
Okay, in the spirit, it depends on what condition you're in. If you're following Yahweh or if you're not following Yahweh. The Bible talks about that there's many spirits. The Bible says that there's the spirit of this world. Okay, so the spirit of the devil is around, no question. And you have the spirit of Elohim. So depending on your condition and your relationship with the Creator, you are either in one or the other. Okay, so, but everybody still has a spirit. That's the bottom line. It don't matter. Now, when we were created in his image, we had what spirit?
Where do you know? His spirit.
The Holy Spirit. We had his spirit, yes. Now, in the last days, is he trying to remake us into his image?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh. Okay, now, how is he doing that? That's where the day of at one mint comes in. Now, how does the day at one mint fall into this category? Well, we break it up into three main parts. At one mint. So we are going to be at one with Elohim. That's what the day of at one mint is all about, for us to spend our time studying and praying and fasting and all of those things so that we can become one with who?
God.
That's it. That's
all
the goal. It's no other. It's nothing else. Now, how did he teach us how this would happen?
Oh, man.
Okay. So, the way it would happen is this. Okay? So, the Bible says we have Yeshua as our okay, whoever's doing something, you can mute it. Star 6, because you're coming through, you're feeding through. And I'm getting ready to hear some other scriptures. So it's not going to be the time for the comments. So.
Are you hearing anything in the background?
Yes, I do. That's why I'm saying I need
okay,
you to.
Okay, I'll try again. Sometimes it doesn't work. I'll try again.
Okay, good.
Is that better now?
Nope.
Huh?
Nope. Try
still not
six.
Good. Okay, I'll try again.
Yes, you're out. Good. We don't hear anything in the background. Good. Okay. Now we're gonna look at this other study here. Okay. Let's see how many minutes we've got left. Okay. In this one, we're gonna briefly run through this. In the book of John chapter 5, when Yeshua was here on the planet, he talked about how he lived. Now, he's our example, and that's how we're going to be made perfect or perfected through him. In John chapter 5, verse 19, he makes mention here, then said Yeshua, then answered Yeshua and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what thing soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, this scripture here lets us know that Yeshua can do how much?
Nothing by himself.
Okay. Now, that's very important because we have in our minds sometimes thinking that Yeshua was different than we are. Yes, he is the Son of Elohim. Yes. But now, when he came to planet Earth, did he do Did he use his powers to do all of these different things, to get victory over sin, to heal the raised, heal the sick, raise the dead? Was that him doing it, or was that the Holy Spirit and the Father working through him to do it?
The Father working through him. Because he said of myself, I can do nothing.
That's the most important part. How many people can we heal?
We can't heal a soul.
And even heal ourselves. So he has it such that he would like to work through us so that he can manifest who? Yeshua to the world. He says, what is the hope of glory? The Messiah in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
Living in you and him doing the works. As he could not do the works, as he said here, he could do nothing, so we can do nothing. So he had to be made like unto his brethren. He had to be made like unto us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so he did have the power, but he gave up the power when he left the thrones to come down here to live among man and woman so that he can show us how we can get the victory and be like him. So here he lets us know clear as day that he don't do anything. Everything that is being done through him is through the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, all throughout this particular chapter and through the next few chapters, it talks about that a whole lot. It talks about that how he can do nothing of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's look at verse 38 for a second. Now, when we talk about doing things, that's one thing. And now let's look at verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, did he do his own thing, which would be his own will?
Never. Mm-mm.
Now, that's very important. Okay? Because he gave up, even though he was perfect, he wouldn't have sinned if he came down here, but he knew that if he came down with those powers, me and you don't have those powers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Only way that we can get the victory is he has to show us how to get the victory, and he would have to be in the same position that we're in.
Right.
So that he can show us how this happens. So one thing, he lets us know that we have to be willing to give up our will to give it to the will of Elohim, so that we can become, we can get his will. So that he can both will and do of his own good pleasure in us, which he promised he would, if we let him. So then if he can both will and do of his good pleasure in us, then automatically those are things that are perfection. Then that's how he will bring his people in the last days to perfection, such that he can mimic the sixth day during the sixth millennium with the perfect, because he says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
Thing, uh-huh.
He says there will be 144,000 that will not, that will be found no guile in their mouth. They will stand perfect, blameless before the throne of Elohim. So this is how these groups of people will be able to be manifest.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that Yeshua got the victory, we get the victory. Now remember, the Bible told us when at the baptism of John that the Holy Spirit came down, and the Bible was asked, or John was asked, or people were asked, how do you know? How will I know when the Messiah? And he says that when the Spirit comes down on him, and he said he saw the Spirit like a dove come down on the Messiah at the baptism. And then he said, behold, the Lamb of Elohim which cometh and taketh away the sins of the world. So now he had the Holy Spirit because it came down on him. We see here that he says he doesn't have his own will. He only has the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is only doing what the Father is doing through him. And the Holy Spirit is doing through him. So the same thing is for us. We have to learn how to yield ourselves to get the will of Father through the Son. And the Bible says that the Spirit will guide us into how much truth?
All truth.
Okay? And that he both wants to both will and do of his good pleasure in us. So these are the things of how this is how we become at one with Elohim. This is how he will manifest this in the last days. Okay? So this is how the Day of Atonement has meaning today. The Day of Atonement, some people will keep the Day of Atonement as a day and fast, which is good, but they do not understand the meaning behind it. They do not understand that this is how we become one with Elohim, how he wants to reflect himself to the world, and that it will all occur, on my understanding is, on the Day of Atonement, one of these Days of Atonement, and my belief that one of these Days of Atonement will be a high one because it will fall also on a sabbatical, on a Sabbath. It'll fall on a whole bunch of things, and maybe even a Jubilee. I don't know. I don't know all the details. But all of these heavy things will come together, and this is what he was trying to teach us in his calendar, which most people don't understand, and, you know, and we mix the types with the anti-types. So what we'll do is we're going to stop here at the moment, and we'll come back in 15 more minutes so I can store this one, and then this we will come back for our last session. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll, what time is it now? It's 3:35, so let's come back together in 15 minutes, which would be 3:50.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.